Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Nadine, and this is the Animal Channel. And it is just really wonderful to connect with everyone today. Wow, it feels like, with all the energy that is happening on Earth, and I say that with a giggle, but wow, can everyone just say, wow, with all of the full moon energy, that is one that's huge. But there is also the energy of the light waves, there's the eclipse, there's politics. Can you see all that energy with politics? Wow, and the animal kingdom is sitting over here going, yeah, y'all humans are just weird, right? You're just weird. But not that they don't have hierarchy in their own kingdom. They do. You know, they don't have politics, but they have battles and fighting for who's going to lead the pride, right? But the part that we are so excited about joining with the animal kingdom today is they have so much to share about rituals, what I call the dances and the rituals. And what I'd like to explore today with you is just different rituals that happen in the animal kingdom and how those mirror or tie into the human kingdom and what we can learn. You know, what are they teaching us? What can we learn with them, through them, with them by our side? You know, so just a wonderful walking side by side with them today. But before we do that, would you just take a breath and allow yourself to be here on the call? And I just have to remember, I did press record. I did press record, okay? I just, this part of trying to do energy work and do technical stuff at the same time is just wah. So I can do the technical, but then I completely have to turn away from the technical stuff and step into the energy. And once I'm in the energy, then my gosh, if something beeps at me, you know, just spare me. And I'm sure you're all giggling and laughing at me right now because it's quite the visual, you know, the like watching somebody attempt to change the oil in a car and bake cookies at the same time. It just doesn't happen, right? Just doesn't happen. So laugh with me, but let's breathe into this November. Lots of energy again. So yesterday was 11/11/22. And 11 years ago, I was at a conference that we were celebrating 11/11/11. And just amazing to realize 11, 11 is a power number. 11 is that just huge, 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 what I'm going to call power energy. Anytime you have that double digit, so it could be 11, it could be 22, 33, 44, doesn't matter what the double digits are. When you see those double digits or triple digits, it's a huge hello, pay attention type of deal. So yesterday's energy on 11/11/22, you know, big energy pointing again to what we're going to talk about today with rituals and dances. So you might want to have some paper out just to jot notes or things where you can tie in for yourself about rituals. So what is a ritual? I had somebody say one day that a ritual is a habit, and I have to disagree. So to me, a habit is something that is done repetitively, but not always consciously. For example, a person might be nervous, and the habit is to bite their fingernails. Okay, that's a habit. Or a habit might be an instruction of set the table and by rote, okay, I'm going to set seven places, so that's seven forks, seven knives, seven spoons, seven plates, blah, blah, blah. But then realizing that, you know, three of those people aren't here anymore. Maybe they're at college, maybe they're at work. But the habit was, I'm going to go get the seven and play for seven when really we didn't need that many. So habit is completely different. A ritual is one of those conscious things that we go through that is repetitive. So in an animal, a ritual might be watching a dog or a cat circle. They want to sit down next to you. And you'll see, I see this with dogs all the time. So they have their pad, like their little mat, their special place. And they'll get on the pad, but they don't just sit down, right? They're not like a human. They don't just walk over to the chair and sit down. The ritual is, oh, mine, I have to sniff it, make sure it's mine. And then I'm going to circle 3 times to the right, 2 times to the left. I'm going to sit. I'm going to take 3 breaths, and then I'm going to let it all out, and I'm going to fall asleep. And every single time they come to that resting period, 3 to the right, 2 to the left, sit down, breathe out, sleep. That's a ritual. In a human, a ritual might also be really noticed in what some people would call OCD, that obsessive compulsive. Yes and no, because that's a little different. That has a little bit of different layering to it. But you can get that visual. I'm going to walk through the door. I'm going to clean the handle 3 times. Here's another ritual. Football players, they're going out to play a game, and maybe there's they're the Liberty Lancers, and they have a big LL on the door frame. But the ritual is, as I'm walking out the door, I'm going to touch that LL every single time I walk out that door. That's a ritual. There is a gentleman that I watch playing tennis. His name is Rafa Nadal. And it's really fascinating watching him get ready to serve, because he's got this amazing ritual. And I do not have this down by any stretch of the imagination. But there's this whole process that he goes through about the ritual of his water bottles before he even goes out on the court. The bottles have to be in a certain order. He puts his towels a certain way. But when he's getting ready to serve, there's a wipe on the left, a wipe on the right, coming down the ear. I mean, there's this whole ritual. But where did rituals come from? And the animal kingdom is going, hey, look over here, look at us, we have rituals. And right now, we've been in October, predominantly October, November, is mating season for many of the big animals. So deer, antelope, elk, moose, buffalo, mating season is happening right now because they're going to gestate through the winter. So it doesn't really matter when mating season is, there's a ritual. And the fascinating part in watching mating dances or mating rituals is the female has all of the power. The female has all of the choice. The males are the ones that have to do the ritual. They have to do the dance. They have to show their plumage, if you will. They have to prove they are worthy. I love this. And the female gets to choose. Or not, right? Or not. How many females are watching this, you know, buck do his snort dance, you know, fighting with the horns and peeing all over the place, and the female sitting there going, I'm sorry, you may have just won that fight, but you don't have the stamina, you don't have the gene pool that I'm looking for in my harem. You know, I got 23 ladies with me, and sorry, Mr. Buckaroo, but you don't have what it takes to serve and service my line that I'm caring for. Now, take a breath, because this is completely flipped in the human world, right? If you look at any magazine out there and you walk up to a grocery store, they objectify women. They're telling women, human society tells women, you're the one that has to look a certain way, dress a certain way, eat a certain way, be a certain size, have a certain look. You have to prove yourself so that this male over here can choose you. And how absurd is that, right? How absurd is that? So my lesson, my kind of voice out to any of the ladies on the line is, yeah, don't be doing social media. Don't be following magazines. Don't be following any of that. But I don't want to get me on you, so we're going to go back to the animals. Let's look at how the animals work. And in all the animals that I've watched, the only species that I've watched have a female as the, this is still wrong way to put it, but in most tribes that you have the male leader, right, the male leader, and hyenas don't. Hyenas, the female, it's a matriarchal system. So, but that's still a little different than where we really want to go today with rituals and dances and the mating dance and the mating ritual. So big lesson from the animal kingdom. So in that ritual and in that dance, let's just even look at the makeup of the animals themselves. So I was out walking and looking at all these birds. It was just fascinating. Like from a distance, they were all camouflaged, right? All camouflaged. But when you get up close, I mean, I was a good 2 feet from some of these ducks, and the array of colors will blow my mind. The different shades of purples, the different shades of green. But as they opened their wing, that purple actually shifted to black. Now, it wasn't black. It was purple. It was just in the shifting of that color, a different hue came out. Part of the dance, part of the ritual. I'm going to show you my beauty. And from this perspective, it looks one way. But from this other observation point, from this other point of view, it's a completely different view. So I was looking at the boys, you know, and normally in, again, this goes to our rituals and our dances, the boys are the one that have the big horns, the big rack, the big, in buffalo, that big coat, if you will. In the male lions, it's that pride, that mane. To be the leader of the pride, you have this huge mane. The girls, while they're beautiful, absolutely stunningly beautiful, they are more camouflaged. They are more subdued, again, wrong word, but follow, just flow with me here. They're more softer colors so that they can completely hide in the grass. Now, not that the guys don't hide. I mean, you could have a lion sitting right next to you in a big thing of grass and not even know he's there until he makes a sound and lets you know he's there and he was 2 feet away from you in the tall grass. I've seen tigers literally are 2 to 3 feet away from you, and you have no freaking clue they're there because of how well they camouflage themselves. So in this part of ritual dances, the boys have all the color so that they can pull danger away from the girls. That's what they're really doing. They're saying, hey, Mr. Other duck, I'm going to flap and make my wings pretty and big so that you go away while my girly over here is sitting on the eggs or my girly over here is taking care of the young. But that also plays into their dance. And we have dances for mating. We have dances for fighting. We have dances for food. We have dances for, and you fill in the blank. And a lot of times, like if you're around tribes, like tribes in Africa, the tribes imitate what the animals do. So when I lived in Africa, one of the tribes I got to be around was the Maasai. And oh my gosh, just freaking amazing to watch these beautiful, beautiful men painting themselves and going through days, right, 3 to 5 days of ritual to impress the female. And the female in the line, again, they're looking at, I'm going to choose, right? I'm going to choose the man that I feel, the male that I feel has the most skill set, right? He can hunt. He can provide food. He can provide shelter. He can you know, whatever, again, the what they're looking for. But watching the Maasai, the girls, the women, they don't have eye contact. They're looking at the ground. They do not look up until that moment that they're saying, I choose you. So there may be, in the Maasai, let's say there were 15 men who were dancing, and there's three women who are of age who are choosing their next mate, their partner. And these 15 men are going through their rituals, the dances, to show their stamina, their scent, their stability, their ability to provide. And the female human does not look up and engage in eye contact until the moment she says, you are my chosen. And if she chooses none of the 15, she simply stands up and walks away. Now, again, I'm going to go to us. I'm a female. I have a female body. How many times in my own life did I say, oh, wait, he or whoever you're chosen, it doesn't matter. You know, if you're into same sex, it doesn't matter. Don't go there right now. Look at the partner. How many times have we, as a human, said, wait, they're not paying attention to me. They're not looking at me, so I'm going to get louder. I'm going to get more colorful. I'm going to get more boisterous, whatever the words are, to make that person look at me, want me. And that goes against everything in the animal kingdom. So let's go back to them. Let's talk about ritual again, ritual and dance. So I'm watching these ducks, and it's mating. You know, they're mating. And watching these boys, the males, put on this amazing, amazing dance. From the running forward, running away, putting the tail up in the air, putting the tail down. Peacocks is another one that's just fantastic to watch the boys. They never raise their tails unless they're saying, ooh, girly, 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 look at me. And then all of a sudden they will throw that magnificent tail up, and the plumage is blow your mind. Strut, 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 strut. Look at me. I'm going to strut around, strut around, strut around. And they will sit there and call to the peahens for hours. And that little peahen over there is going, you know what, dude, I'm painting my toenails. You know, I have business over here. And the male is just like, but wait, let me show you. I can do this. Wait, let me show you. Look at my tail. You didn't look at my tail. So I'm giggling because, as I'm preparing for our talk, whatever that's going to look like, I'm just noticing what's happening in the animal kingdom. Again, you know, even this morning I'm taking care of a dog, Frisco, and we're out on our walk, and he's got this other ritual, right? So different than the mating ritual. He's got this ritual of he's got to go up to every tree. And on that tree, he's got to sniff, 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 sniff to see if there was a squirrel smell, was there another dog smell. And then he has to mark it, right? My territory. He lifts his leg. And it may have been one drop of urine that came out, right? He's got to mark the tree. And five steps forward, there's another tree. And you know what? I just get it. We're on the pee walk. We're on the sniff walk. And every single tree we passed, he stopped. He circled the entire tree. He sniffed up the bark about 6 inches. And then he chose the spot that had the most potent scent, and he peed on it. And I'm thinking, okay, this is really wild. What other rituals do you do? And we were about on the very end of the walk, and we're in this yard that was loaded with leaves. And there had to have been a female in heat that had been around those leaves within 3 to 4 hours, right? Because the scent was so strong. I have never seen this dog do this. And I've been walking him 5 years. Never seen him do this. So it had to have been a female in heat. And you know, when the bitches are in heat, they drop spots of blood everywhere, right? So they're letting the males know, I'm in heat. Here's some of my scent. This dog laid down on these leaves and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. And I was blown away. I'm just watching him. And he covered the entire front yard, left front yard of these people's lawn with his fur, getting his scent all over on top of the leaves. And when he got done of rubbing him all over, he went to one place, sniffed again, and urinated. And we walked away, and I'm like talking to him like, so what was that all about? And he's like, girl, 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 and cracking me up, right? But it fits into our talk today about rituals, dances, rituals, dances. I got to watch elk season, right? So I went up to Estes Park. I'm in Colorado. I went up to Estes Park because they're just this, you know, huge, huge herds of elk. And again, it's the females. There will be a matriarch of the harem, right? So the head female, and she's got many in her groups. Sometimes only six, but she's got many in her group. And she chooses. She chooses the male that will breed with her group. And I'm watching one day, so I'm up there, and different trips, but on this particular trip that I wanted to talk about, two males are wanting to fight, duke it out for who was going to have the right to present themselves to the lead female. And these boys were big, so I think the smallest was the 6-point, and a whole line of them, right? So they had already had their inner fights, and you know the 1-pointer, 2-pointer bucks, they're not going anywhere, right? But these dudes were huge. But the ritual was they're cross-reaming each other on the field, and you can hear them bugling to each other. But I'm watching this one male. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So he breathes in his ritual. He breathes in all the way down to the first chakra, right? All the way down into, way down into the groin area. He blows out. He sucks in his breath. He blows out. And then he urinates all over the place. And I'm like, okay, what are you doing really? What are you doing? And it was that I'm pulling all my energy into my chakras, but now I'm going to put my musk scent out there for everyone to smell me. Here's my smell. Here's my scent. Hear me, world. I am the king. And then after that, you know, this marking the hooves, moving the territory, marking the territory. And after doing that for a good 20, 30 minutes, finally these two boys, men, males, decided they were going to run at each other and have an antler tangle. That's part of the ritual as well. But there were all of these small build-ups to the big show. The big show, right? So looking at, again, do you have an animal in your house, right? Do you have more than one animal? What kind of rituals do they do, right? And what time of year do they do that ritual? So think about different rituals that we were talking about. Dog. Okay, so dog has its mat, and there's no females in the house, so there's no sexual hormones that are being flipped off. This is just the male or the female going to lie down. Take a moment to just jot down for yourself so you can look at it a little later, is what does my dog do? What does my cat do? Do they have a plan? Do they have a every time and it only happens on this blanket? Or here's another ritual. I know I want to take a nappy, so I'm going to go find my favorite toy. I'm going to carry that toy through the house, Adam had run to every single room in the house, part of the ritual, to tell everybody, hey, here, this is mine, 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 every room in the house, doesn't matter how big the room is. And then I'm going to bring that, and I'm going to drop it at my owner, my human's feet, to say, I love you, here's my treat for you, and now I'm going to lay down and do my nap. That's another kind of a ritual. There's a ritual with eating. So notice, hi, yes, thank you. What kind of a ritual do you have, Kianga? So okay, we'll shift, and she says, enough talking about the dogs. Let's talk about the birds. So she's got these rituals every day where before it's time to go to bed, right? We have the ritual that's the getting ready to go to bed. So she's got a whole song that's called Let's Get Ready for the Good Nights. And when I start singing Let's Get Ready for the Good Night song, she has this whole ritual that she does of making sure that she flaps her wings. She'll do like 5 or 6 different times of flapping her wings, her exercise. I'm exercising, I'm getting blood flow. As we're moving into the room that's going to be where she goes to the good nights, that's the first part of the ritual. The second part of the ritual is she has to run around the top of her cage until I take out a dish that has the pistachios. And I just shake the pistachio, and she knows when I shake that pistachio bowl, it's time to go inside her cage. And then the ritual is she gets a pistachio, and she takes her time because she knows once the pistachio's eaten, then she gets covered up. So depending on if she's really exhausted, she eats it really fast. If she's being a squirrel, and that means just a bad birdie, like she's doing birdie thingies, she takes, you know, a while, and we have a good night song. And then she gets covered up. And we have this whole good night ritual. And then the other part of her little process is there's a sound that gets turned on. So she's got running water behind her so that it wipes out any other noises going on in the house. That's the good night ritual. So, again, look at your animal and look at, does your cat have a ritual? Does your dog have a ritual? Does your snake have a ritual? Bunnies, oh my God, bunnies have rituals. Mice, oh my God, mice and gerbils. It's hilarious to watch a gerbil, the whole process of getting on the wheel, you know. And if you have ever, what was that game, hopscotch, or that's not the one I'm looking at, where you have two people holding jump rope, right? So you have jump rope, and it's only one rope, right? It's like you can sit here and kind of go to the whole ritual of the hands and the body movement to know when you're going to go into the jump rope and start jumping. But now you add two ropes, and that just throws everything off. And there are some that are so exquisite about seeing the pattern in the rope and jumping in and just going for it. Hula hooping, another one, right? But there's a ritual. There's a dance. There's a, what is my part of this thing that brings me so much joy in my heart? So just take a moment, write down like different animals you have, what you notice. A ritual around going to bed, getting up, food. What's the food ritual? What's another ritual? Going to the bathroom. Going to the bathroom. What's another really good? Going, laying down on the pad. That's another ritual. And, oh, my gosh, meeting a new person ritual. Oh, my goodness, meeting a new person ritual. Let's forget about the human. I'm going to meet another dog ritual. So what's one thing you know is a typical ritual when a dog or a cat meets another dog or another cat? What is one of the things they have to do? Yes, you got it right. They have to sniff the anal glands, right? Not just the butt. It's the glands. It's the hormone coming out of the anal ducts. That's what they're smelling. And what they're smelling is, are you part of my pride, my group, my clan, or are you foreign? And you can watch, like when you go to a dog park and you watch different dogs, you know, they'll run up to their friends, and but before they lick faces, they have to smell the anal gland to, oh, you're my friend. I remember, you're my friend George. And then they'll fall on each other and lick each other's faces and paw each other, da-da-da. But then look at the other one. They go over to George. We're going to pick on George. They sniff George's anal glands, and if George has something out of balance, immediately there's a whole dander goes up, the fur goes up, the ears go up, and it's like something's out of wrong here, something's out of balance here, and or you're not part of my group. And then the teeth get shown. That's another ritual. I'm going to show you my teeth. I'm going to show you my saliva. I'm going to let you hear the vocalization coming out of my throat, right? So all these different things that animals show either for, the ritual for, or the ritual away, a ritual against. Well, it's just fascinating. The bathroom ritual, watching, who was I watching? Little Bear, I think I was watching him. So his first ritual is he goes in and he smells all the litter boxes. So in the place I was observing him, there are three litter boxes side by side. And he goes to each one at first, and I think he what he's doing is which one has the least amount of somebody else peed in their smell, right? Even though I use multi-cat litter, if somebody just urinated, you can smell it, right? It hasn't clotted yet. So he goes in, he smells, sniff, 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 sniff. Yep, this one's safe. He steps in the litter box, and he just doesn't go over and release. He goes through this whole thing of smelling every part of the inside of the litter box to find the exact spot that is perfect for his deposit, if you will. He does his business. He covers it up, and then he flies out of the litter box. So another ritual. I'm going to shift to feeding rituals. So my little girl, Sweet Car, the only time I see this little girl, swear to God, is when it's time for food. So I am unworthy. As the human, I am unworthy of any attention, of anything, until, hey, my stomach's hungry. You are in bed. You need to get out of bed right now to feed me. So I see her in the morning. She touches my nose like, you slept long enough. And I'm like, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, but you slept long enough. And so her ritual, you know, first she'll stare at me, and then she'll touch my nose with her paw. And if that doesn't get it, she will sit and like lay on me and with her nose, like a sniff from my nose. And she just stares. And I know what she's doing, and it's like, nope, I'm not ready to get up yet, right? 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's part of her ritual. But once the human is up, a whole different dance. And so she will run in front of me, turn, and if I don't go where she wants me, she'll run in front of me again. And then she'll run in front of me again. And like, it's going to be 30 minutes before I go down where the food is. So I have to really watch where my feet are going, because she is going to do a pass in front of me every single time I walk anywhere. Little Bear does that too. If I have not given them food at a specific time, according to what they say, hey, food happens right now, he will run across the room and sprint right in front of my legs. And that's when I get to choose if I want to go flying or not. But Sweet Car's little ritual, she will then walk in front, in front, in front, in front. But then she'll come and walk me all the way to the kitchen, and she will sit there and meow, 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 meow. I mean, she is constantly talking to me while I'm cutting up her gizzards and I'm making her food dish. And she will natter at me until the food dish goes down, and then I have served the purpose of the ritual. And I can now go do other things because she has been served, and I will not see that cat again at all until the evening feeding time. Now, that I would call part of her dance. Like, she's got this little dance, her ritual dance that she goes through. I got the privilege of watching snakes do a mating dance, and that was completely mesmerizing. Again, the male is doing whatever he's got to do to entice the female, to entice the female. But in snakes, once she's made her decision, yes, you are now who I will mate with, then it's this amazingly beautiful, almost, in my words, ceremonial mating dance. And the actual copulation, if you will, the actual part of what gives the babies, is very short. It's the lead up to, it's the ritual dance, it's these two snakes intertwining with each other, rubbing along the skin, stimulating the skin, stimulating the length of the body from the head to the tail, multiple weavings back and forth, and swaying together. It's like they have their own internal song that they're swinging back and forth. So one of the things that I would like to challenge, wrong word, put an opportunity on the table, is months ago we talked about totem animals. So go back to your notes, look at your own totems. And it could be, you know, some of us have totems that are, we have multiple, we have different ones. Some of us have a main totem that's for when we're making a decision. But we have main totems. But go to your list of totems and do some research about their rituals, their dances, because that might be another place that opens a door, an observation point for you as you're working with your totem animal to go, oh, I'm getting ready to be really creative. I'm making something new. I have a new painting. I have a new, I have a friend that does, these salve, but I think it's called salve. Enunciated without the L, but it's spelled S-A-L-V-E. And, you know, some of them have lavender, chamomile, you know, this and that. And they all have a scent. They all have a tactile. But let's say you're getting ready for a new combination. What would it be like if you're doing that new combination with your totem animal about creativity and they're in their ritual, their mating dance, their ritual dance for creativity? Wouldn't that be cool to weave that into the energetics of what you're creating? God, I love that idea. Thank you, animals. That was really brilliant. Thank you. What a cool message. That one just came through. I did not have that. That was not on the agenda, but oh, what a cool idea. What a cool idea, especially for something you're creating, and they're being really clear about now. You have something new coming up. So you're writing a book. You're making a new salve. You're making a new necklace, bracelet. You're making a new item of clothing. You're putting on a webinar, in my case. You're putting something out there that is a new creation. Can you bring in a ritual of your totem into the energy, the energetics of that creation? So I don't know who else needed to hear that. That was definitely for me. I'm claiming it, but if it's for you too, claim it. Yeah, so going back to, I just have to let that sit in. That was really powerful because I'm watching, and maybe you're feeling it too, the body got tingly, the creative center got tingly. There was a new, aha, did you get that, human? A gift from the animal kingdom to us. And did each of us receive that gift in this moment right now from our companion here, our animal companion kingdom, that says, we are here to walk by your side. We are here to share with you our rituals, our dances, why we do them, when we do them. We're sharing that with you. And here we are saying thank you, thank you, thank you, and absorbing that energy, absorbing that wonderful knowledge. Wow, that was just juicy. Let me just take a moment and look at my notes, because I thought there was something else that they wanted to say, but this might be the big gift here. You know, the bears wanted to say something. So, again, the girl is the one with all of the power. The girl is the one with the choice. The girl, it always is the girl. The male has to do the, I'm going to dance for you so you can choose me. But once the male has done his mating duty, if you will, he really could care less about the females. He really could care less about the females. He goes and does his thing, right? But he may spend his seed a million times in 2 weeks doing all of the girls. I'm looking at the elk now. The chosen male, because he's got to breed with each of those females at least 6 times, he will mount each of those females over the course of 2 weeks. And if he does not, if they're not impregnated, he did not do his duty, he is kicked out, and then there will be a second rut where a second male will come in to see if they can impregnate the rest of the females. Totally wild, right? But that's not what the bears wanted to say. The bears wanted to say, like, so the boys will impregnate the girls. But the girl bears, they don't gestate. The seed is inside. But they don't, their body does not choose to gestate that seed unless the conditions are perfect. So there has to be shelter and there has to be food. If there is not shelter and there is not food, a good supply, the female bear will not gestate the young. That is empowering. So let's say she has 50 seed inside of her, and there's only enough food for one young. She can choose to gestate the one or none. And there was 1 year I was out at the Wild Animal Sanctuary, and we had just done a rescue. There was a huge rescue that had come in. And 3 grizzly girls had come in, three grizzly bears had come in. All 3 of them were pregnant. But again, what were they going to do? And one of the things I can say about the Wild Animal Sanctuary, you definitely have shelter and you definitely have plenty of food. And so these 3 girls, you know, found their dens. They had cameras in the dens. And one female threw 3 cubs. The other 2 threw 1. But it was really fascinating to watch the one that finally said, wow, you know, there's enough food here that I have plenty of fat on me, but there's enough food here that I can provide for 3 young. Isn't that fascinating? Totally fascinating. What's another ritual? So I'm watching a female jaguar. Is that who you are? One of the cats, and she gave birth to 5 young, but she knows that the winter's coming up, and there's not enough food for the 5. And what she's showing me right now is that part of the process is that something will happen, and whoever dies, she will actually eat the young, eat the dead, the body. And the reason she eats the dead, again, part of the ritual, part of the dance, she brings what she gave birth to back into her body. Note that. That's a big star right there. She brings back what she gave birth to She brings all of that back into her own body by consuming the young. So energetically, where I'm going to segue that to humans, one of the biggest things we can do for ourselves at the end of a meeting, at the end of a school day, at the end of an exam, at the end of a concert, at the end of a whatever the meeting is, at the end of the day, bring me back to me. So thank you, Jaguar, for showing me that. So the other part of why she eats her young is so that there is no smell left behind so that a predator could find the den and a predator could then come and eat and hurt the rest of the young. So that's the other part. But the big part for what she's showing me is bring your energy back to you. So let's do a little exercise here before we end our call. Where's one place that you know you left your energy? And it's what, noon here right now, noon, 1 o'clock? Just today, in the last hour, where's one place you left your energy? So I went on a walk with Frisco. I know I left some of my energy out in the park, and I know because I was still thinking about the leaves, where he rolled, I left some of my energy there so I could remember it. So you think about just in the last, since you got out of bed this morning, what's one place you left your energy? Now, we're going to do this with two different tools so that you have two different ways that you can bring your energy back. And the first one is, would you visualize a rose, a flower, the rose? And remember, we used this rose tool before to do other things, but the rose has the highest vibration on planet Earth. Would you give the command to this very high vibration to collect up your energy? And you know exactly where you left it. So in my example, rose, collect me up from where the leaves are and collect me up from my walk with Frisco. Okay, so you give your rose the command. Again, it's to say it out loud. Rose, collect me up from, and name out loud where you're collecting your energy up from. Now, take that rose, put it right above your head, and just drop it down the top of your head. It goes right into your seventh chakra, and all of that energy is instantaneously brought back into your body. Okay? Well, let's do it again. Create another rose, and what's the first person that you're thinking about that you had a conversation with? Would you collect up your energy out of that conversation and drop that rose down the top of your head? Excellent. Let's do this one more time with this tool. Create a rose. Where's one place yesterday that you know you're still thinking about? Maybe it was a bracelet you were looking at, you were thinking about buying for yourself, and your energy's still there, or you were in the grocery store and you saw bananas, and that's all you could think about. Where did you leave your energy? Would you just give the rose the command, yesterday's energy, and call all of you back? Drop the rose down the center of the top of your head. Good job. So that's tool number one. You can use a rose to collect you up, bring you back, drop it down the top of your head. I like to also use an energy ball. And this one is when we're collecting up more emotions. So could you imagine a ball on top of your head? And now specifically, I want to collect up my curiosity. Where did I leave my curiosity? So I'm going to give a command to the ball to go to the edges of the universe and to bring back my curiosity. Bring it back to me, mine. I don't want Lisa's. I don't want George's. I want Nadine's. So create the ball above your head. one word, give the command to the ball, collect up all of my energy around this concept. Now that ball is going to get energetically really, 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 really big. And what we want to do is just reach up with your non-dominant hand, pop that ball, and allow all that energy again. It's going to flood right into the seventh chakra. It's going to go down that column of light that goes from the top of your head to the first chakra. Just allow that energy to flood into the body. And then you can give the command for it to flood into all your cells, all your organs, all your tissue. And let's do that again. Put another ball above your head. What's one thing you want to bring back? So I'm going to bring back joy. Where did I leave my joy? Where did I leave my happy? Where did I leave my smile? Where did I leave my abundance? Where did I leave my knowledge? This is perfect before taking an exam. Where did I leave my knowledge for my math, my history, whatever? I want my knowledge to come back to my brain, right? That doesn't mean you don't get to study. It's a different concept. I'm just bringing it all back to me. So pick a word. Give the command to the ball to collect up that energy. And now pop that ball and allow that feeling, the smile, the happy, the joy, the abundance, to come into your body. And the other way I like to do this bringing back is on a color. So sometimes I think it's if we're in a situation, it's hard to think of a word. Like, I want to call back my happy. Sometimes it's hard to get there. So what if I can just say, you know, I really keep thinking about this specific color of green. Okay, ball, collect me up at the color green and bring all of my green back to me now. And you just allow that ball to collect up the green. And then, again, reach up with your non-dominant hand, pop it, and bring all that energy back to you. And, again, I want to thank the Jaguar, because what she said is, if my young dies, I'm not just going to leave that body out there. I gave birth. I created this little cub. I'm going to consume this cub because I'm bringing my energy back to me. Good concept here. So the elephants want to actually finish our time together, and they are amazing. I highly encourage everyone to go out to YouTube and to do a search in YouTube on ritual with buffalo specifically and ritual with elephant, a whale's another one. But let's the elephants say they want to end our call to get today. When a female is birthing, so an elephant will gestate for 18 months. When a female is birthing, she has the entire herd of elephants surround her, but they sing that baby into existence. They sing while she is birthing. And when the baby's born, every single member of the herd comes up and introduces itself to the young and welcomes the young into the world. The other ritual they want us to know is that when one of theirs crosses the dimension, because they're showing me it's not just the bridge, but when they die, when they cross over from form to non-form, all of the pride, all of the herd, sing them across the bridge, sing them from a body, a physical body, into spiritual body. And this could go on for days, right? Days. They sing the memory. They sing the legend. They sing the song of that soul. And again, I'm being shown a pride in Africa that every being has their song. And every member of the I don't know the word right now, herd, pride, group, right? But this is humans. Every one of the community, there we go. Every one of the community knows your song. And they sing your song in times of celebration. They sing your song in times of like the birth ritual. But the other thing that this group does, this tribe does, is should a young man, we're gonna pick on George again. Let's say George does something that is out of alignment with the structure of the tribe. Let's say he stole or he lied or whatever, the misalignment of his spirit, of his soul. The tribe come together. They do not condemn him. They do not argue with him. They do not shame him or blame him. What they do is they hold up his song. They sing him his song. And they sing and they sing and they sing until he remembers his own song. Isn't that beautiful? Where did that come from? The animal kingdom. We sing our song. Elephants, we sing our song of birth. We sing this song to this beautiful young elephant through his life. And when he crosses over, we sing his song. We sing our song to sing him over across to his next journey. How beautiful. How beautiful. So thank you very much for joining me today on the Animal Channel. And thank you for the animals, for the messages that they have with us and for us. I'm just in joy that we get to be here and be part of this amazing time together. So thank you very much for joining me today. Have a wonderful next part of your day, and I will talk to you next month. Happy day, everyone.